Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, we got quite a morning planned. Bittersweet, as Clark was saying about Bill, but some really exciting elements that even in him going, I feel like a part of what we're going to talk about this morning in storytelling. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to address two different audiences for a moment. If this is your first Sunday here, we are so glad that you're here. My name is Pastor Javen, and we just love that you've joined us. Immediately following the message, right up here at the front, Alan Chambers, who is the one who's up here, the real snappy dresser over there, he's going to be up here, and he wants to meet with you guys and just kind of answer any questions that you might have. The second group is our live stream audience. We want to welcome you guys. Thank you guys for joining us. We have people joining us all the way from Africa, which that blows my mind. Seattle, which means you got up even earlier than I did to tune in, and all over the place. And we have a special message for you guys right after this message, so stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining us. I want to start this morning with a thought, and that is grace changes everything. Does that resonate with anybody else? I mean, grace absolutely changes everything. And for years, I don't know about you, but the Lord will bring me to places in Scripture where I have to relearn things. And it's funny because it's the Lord's leading. I mean, it's just, I'll find a place in Scripture and I'll look at a verse and all of a sudden it just takes on whole new life, right? It sends you on like a journey. Some of us get stuck on like YouTube journeys. I don't know if anybody else experiences that. Or like you watch one video and you end up like in some weird place on the internet and you're like, how did I get here, you know? Like that's why I feel like sometimes when I'm reading Scriptures, I find myself going, I don't know how I got here, you know, but Lord, look at what you're showing. And here's the thing, is that as I'm relearning, as I'm seeing new things, there's certain phrases that just stand out to me now, like within church culture, within the confines of what we create, right? There's just certain phrases and things that we say that I hear sometimes and I think to myself, that doesn't make any sense, right? Like, we say a lot of things that just seem like they don't actually work. They don't actually make any sense. And today I want to talk about one of those things, and it is in the area of serving. Grace impacts the culture, right? Grace impacts the culture of the church, and it makes us look different. I was having a discussion with somebody here recently where I was just saying, isn't it interesting if you look at Grace Church, just let's talk about us for a moment. Like, there are just some differences here that you'll see if you stick around long enough. I remember the very first time we had our first uh-oh moment, you know, as a church. A scandal sort of thing kind of broke, which, by the way, if there's humans involved, that will always happen to some degree. And so whether it's that church, this church, any church, you see these things, but the way that things were handled here were so drastically different, right? In previous places I had been in, if somebody made a mistake, right, it was, you sort of quietly saw them vanish, right? And you never saw that person ever again. And I love that here, when something like that happens, it was a pulling in close, right? It was, no, don't you dare run. You come walk with us, right? Your family. That blew my mind. Like, that was when I noticed grace really does change everything. I mean, think about the kinds of messages that we talk about here, right? When was the last time you heard a message on behavior modification? Trick question. Never has happened, right? And it never will happen. And that's what I love, right? Is that we don't talk about behavior, right? We talk about how big God is and who we are in Him. And it's funny how that actually curbs behavior. It's incredible. Think about how we even invite people to come join the family. It's totally different. Grace changes everything. I got to be honest, I have a very hard time when I'm walking somebody through some sort of sinner's prayer. I don't even like calling it that, right? There's a certain element there where I look at what God has done and I say, well, He's forgiven us. Why am I having this person repeat something else that's already happened, right? And I'm working through all of those elements, but grace impacts everything. And through a combination of personal study and just God bringing me to places in the Bible, I've landed on this statement this morning. God doesn't need servants. God doesn't need servants. He desires sons and daughters. God doesn't run a kingdom of volunteers, but a kingdom of priests, sons and daughters destined to rule and to reign with Him. Right? I mean, Paul, he's sitting there, he's talking to people in Acts chapter 17, right? And he's saying, you know, this is all great, but you know God doesn't inhabit buildings that you've put together, right? Like, that's not how God works. We don't serve a God who needs something. He's not a needy God, right? He doesn't need servants. Why then does so much of what we say within the church have to do with serving God or volunteering in church? And then there's a phrase that I won't get into this morning, but I will at some point, and it talks about being at the feet of Jesus, right? This sort of concept or thought of us being lowly, being down at his feet, just saying, God, can I get you some water? Can I get you something? You know, like that's sort of our thought sometimes, right? And I don't believe it lines up with Scripture. I don't believe it's accurate as who we are in Christ. But then, so why do we get there? Well, I believe it's because in this earthly tent, right, in what we're in, there's a certain humility that comes when you run face to face into God Almighty. I mean, there's this something that's going to happen. But how interesting is it that that's our heart now, but the Bible says that when we see Jesus someday, we will see that we are like him. Right? In that moment, things look different. We go, wait a minute, you're a loving father, and I'm like you. That's going to be a glorious moment. But for right now, I get it. There's a certain humility that comes with that. The fall, it caused us to be unable to see the Father for who he really is. But we see that more clearly through Jesus, who is willing to give up everything, even lowering himself for a time below the angels. Now, I think that statement is relevant for a reason. There's a real cool importance to that, and I believe we can find it in the story of the prodigal son. And I know, if you've been in church long enough, you're like, how many more times can we dissect this story and make it, like, I mean, it's like the prodigal son's in every single sermon, you know? It's phenomenal. It blows my mind. And to save time, I won't go through all the ins and outs of it. You probably know the story by now. There's two sons. One's a hardworking boy. He's out in the yard. One's a loaf, right? And, like, he goes to dad, and he's like, look, man, you're never going to die. Can you just give me your money? And, right, he gets some money. He goes out, he blows it all, famine hits the land, he finds himself in pig slop, right, just sitting there down with them, and he has this brilliant idea. If I go home and I just say I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a son, I'm not worthy to be a son, but I'll ask dad, if he's a nice guy, will you just let me be a servant? Can I tell you there's a problem with that thought? Is the position of servant was already filled, right? The father didn't need any more servants. And so you know the story, right? The son comes home, and before he even gets there, the father runs to him. He calls the servants over, and he says, dress my son back up the way he's supposed to look, right? Get him out of these rags, put a robe on him, give him rings and sandals and all that. Dress him back up as who he really is. I love it. I tell you, the problem with the other son, by the way, is that although the prodigal son wanted to come home and be a servant, the problem with the other son is he already saw himself as a servant. He didn't see himself as a son either. He's already thinking, no, my job is to serve. My job is to be a faithful servant. The fall did more than just destroy our relationship with God. No, it caused us to see him incorrectly. When we sought after him, we came face to face with the law, and we looked through that to see God. And that wasn't at all what he wanted us to see. But I don't believe God corrected the thinking before Jesus because it would have been useless. We wouldn't have been able to see it. And then Jesus comes along. He says, no, no, no. I already have servants. And this is just my personal opinion. I don't know, hold Grace Church to it, I suppose. But I believe the servants are the angels. I believe in the story that's really the angels, right? You see all throughout Scripture, the angels are serving, they're ministering. That's what they love to do. It seems to be their created intent. There are angels that are flying around the throne for a gajillion years, and they're just saying, look how awesome he is. Look how awesome he is. Like, God is so big. He's so awesome. And that's all they do for like a gajillion years, right? They just fly in circles. I'm not sure I'd volunteer, but like they seem to love it, right? And so I see them as the servants. And so when you hear that Jesus for a time lowered himself even lower than the angels, to me, I really see Christ even saying, look, I will come and I will serve. I'm going to show you something, right? Position was already filled. God wants sons and daughters. The other son gets corrected. I mean, he's a good law-keeping son, right? He's out there, he's slaving away, he's working hard. And he goes to his dad all bent out of shape, right? Like, hey, the loaf came back and he got everything again, you know? The father says, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you've been serving this whole time, trying to get my attention to think that I'm proud of you, I'm happy, you know, I'm so excited? Father goes, no, 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 son, you've totally missed it. You're not serving. This is yours. You own this. This has always been yours. What an eye-opening moment for the son, right? Oh, right, I'm working on my own deal, right? And the father goes, no, 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 my two sons home alive with me is my reward. That's all I need. I don't need all this. I just want my sons alive and with me. You know, it sounds real spiritual, of course, to say that we are servants. I just love to serve God, we'll say. And I don't want to split hairs this morning, by the way. I know the English language is limited, right? We only have so many words. Around the office here, we've already tried to weed out certain phrases like servant, serving, volunteer. And it's funny because you catch yourself going, I'm going to, I get it. It's a challenge. But what I'm more concerned about, rather than anybody here slipping up and saying servant after today, I'm more concerned that we just get in the right mindset, right? I like to be involved is the way I like to word it. Our involvement in the kingdom can so often look like serving, but it isn't. You aren't merely being a good steward of what is God's. You own it too. It is yours. You are a joint heir. Get this, Jesus said that the Father takes great pleasure in giving you the keys to the kingdom. Just think about that for a second. How often do you view the kingdom as yours? It's my kingdom, right? Here's the keys to the kingdom. That's what our Father says. So where does the confusion come from? I believe it's the difference between something being spiritually revealed in our hearts and having earthly knowledge or thinking earthly in our mind. Look at Mark 9:35. There's not going to be any verses on the screen, because I really just want you to listen to these verses this morning. There's only going to be a couple. Jesus 9:35 says this. Jesus 9:35. It really is all his book, so I'm actually right. It's the best book of the Bible. It's right there next to Hezekiah. All right. Sitting down, he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last and in of all and servant of all. And I can see somebody saying, okay, Javen, that just contradicted everything you just said. But you got to read this in context. You got to know what's happening in this moment. Jesus is walking down the road with the disciples, right? And he hears them and they're walking behind him going, I'm the greatest. Okay. I don't even know how you have this conversation. It's like Jesus is walking on water and like, just doing all kinds of kung fu, and then you're just like, yeah, I'm the greatest, right? Yeah, all right. And so, you know, they're walking along, and they're muttering to each other, saying, I'm the greatest in the kingdom, I'm the greatest. And Jesus hears this, and he turns around, and he goes, hold up. First of all, I'm the greatest, right? But I love that Jesus himself, who was the greatest, he came, and he said, I came to serve, right? He's trying to put this in terms they will understand. He goes, look, okay, you guys think you're the greatest. You want to be the greatest, be the least. Right, right. Start seeing each other differently. Start looking at these things differently. And you know, the reason why I believe that is because the reason why Jesus never had these kind of conversations is because he loves perfectly. And I believe that if he could tell the disciples something else, he'd say, listen, you guys don't know it yet, but you haven't seen perfect love yet. You're about to see it. I'm about to get up on a cross and show it to you. And if you could love perfectly, these aren't the kind of conversations you'd be having. This is not what you'd be discussing at all. And they eventually understand this because when they see Jesus get up on the cross and he says, here I am, I'm the greatest, and it is better to give than to receive. He stands there and he gives up his life. In that moment, I believe they said, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. Grace changed their understanding. Paul would later write a letter to the elders in Ephesus, and he would end with the words of Jesus that took on new meaning. It is more blessed to give than receive. Do you know what Jesus was thinking up on that cross? Is he was blessed. I know that's weird for us to think about, but he was giving everything. He was thinking of you. And this is the kind of mentality that we can have for each other, is when we think and consider each other's feelings over our own. Philemon 2, 1-5 talks about the unity of the Spirit. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Boy, the next time you get in an argument with somebody, look at them in your mind and say, this person's more important than I am. Right? How would that change everything? This person is more important. Their needs are more important than my own. Colossians 3:23-24 talks about working as if unto the Lord. Boy, we love these little bumper sticker things, right? I'm just serving the church. I'm doing it unto the Lord. There's a major problem with that, is that that scripture has nothing to do with anybody in this room. That scripture is talking to slaves, obey your masters. Anybody here a slave this morning? No, right? Now, there is a truth here, right? Yes, of course, in all things that you do, you could do them all unto the Lord, but this is talking to slaves obeying their masters, right? Whether it's Matthew 25:23, where there's a parable of the talents, where the reference good and faithful servant comes from, whether it's Matthew 25:40, whatever you did for the least of these, you did to me, whether it's John 13:12, where Jesus is washing feet, whether it's Matthew 20:28, the Gentile masters who lord things over their servants. All of these references in context show us a God who isn't insecure in his power, but instead wants to unify us in love. That is the heart of all of these. And let me tell you something. When I say I read every single verse on the subject, I did. Not that I can't be wrong, but I read them all. And when I looked at them all in context, this is what you see. Is God trying to paint a picture of love? It's not about serving. He wants sons and daughters. It's about unifying us in love. We have to get out of the earthly mindset and see each other after the Spirit. That is the point. So Jesus then charges us with the greatest call we could possibly get. And he says it in John chapter 17, and I love John 17. There's a moment where the Son is praying to the Father. Now, this is a really unique thing because you got to wonder, you know, if the Son's praying a prayer, will God answer the Son's prayer? Yeah, probably. You know, like that's God himself praying to himself. He's probably going to get what he wants, right? And so here's the Son praying, and he says things like, God, these disciples, these guys that I got with me, God, I want you to glorify them, justify, sanctify, make them sanctify them in me and the truth. I mean, in other words, I want to always be where they are. And then he says this, which is such a powerful moment in John 17, verse 20. He says, I do not ask on just these guys alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Whew, that's you and me. That's us. That's our job, our one job, right? The one thing we get, and it's not really a job, don't get hung up on all that, but it's a problem when you preach at a Grace Church. No, the truth is that what we get to be a part of is telling the story. We get to become storytellers. It's not something we have to work at. It's not something we got to go do to get God to see us or whatever. No, we get to go tell the story. We are called not to be servants in the house of God, but storytellers as sons and daughters of the most loving Father, the most loving husband, and the most loving comforter that this world has ever seen. We're called to tell the story. His story, my story, and our story. There are three different stories that you get to tell. I'm going to read this to you. Here's his story. A God who isn't afraid of free will, but knew it would be necessary to have genuine love. It came at a cost. It cost him everything. He created us, initiated relationship with us, paid the ultimate price for us, lost everything for us, gained everything for us, did it all, and did it with you in mind. I can tell that story. Whew. You can't hold me back from telling that story. Then we have a son who, with joy in his heart, finding it greater to give than receive, gave up his life so that you could gain his. He lost his life to find it with you. He lost his life to find it with you. I can tell that story. The Holy Spirit who tells us this story, and he shares with us constantly God's love, and he empowers us to get out of our earthly thinking and see truth. I can tell that story. And that's his story. And we all get to tell his story. You know, as some have mentioned, right? His story, right? History. We get to tell the story of what God has done. That's part of what our calling is as storytellers. I'm a storyteller of his story. And then I have my story. You have your story, but we have my story, right? It's all the things that God has done in my life, right? The Bible says that it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that destroys what the enemy's trying to do in our lives. Right? All you got to do the next time the enemy hands you a bill of cancer is you say, yeah, that's not it. Right? That's what the earth may say, but Lord, I'm believing for a miracle right here. Next time the tax guy says, hey, you're going to owe a lot of money, you say, okay, God, what are you going to do here? That's part of my story, God, is what you're doing in my life where it's completely impossible, but with you it becomes possible. Boy, I can tell those stories. Those stories are real easy to share. And people really can't argue with you when you tell your story, right? They can call you nuts. That's about it. It's your story. So I'm a storyteller of his story. I'm a storyteller of my story. And then we have our story, the breaking of bread together, the use of different skill sets and abilities and strengths, all coming together with various stories of our own, all blending together into the greater story, the Jesus narrative. What I believe is this, the meta-narrative of all of Scripture that points to what God can do through us that is greater than what any of us can do on our own. Man, think about that for a second. You were destined to live for something that was greater than just yourself. I'm so thankful for that. Because I can't do a lot on my own. I'm thankful for all of you and to be able to do something that's greater than what I can do on my own with you. This is good for community, for friendship, for support. Did you know that the Bible says that when you go through something, that it's actually not just for you to see the blessings that God does and that it's actually for those around you. It's for us to look at what you go through, see what God does in the situation, and that blesses us. That encourages us. It builds the body up, right? Our story, so others can lift us up when we need it, so we can lift up others and bear their burdens. We is greater than me. You know, one of the biggest complaints, right, that or one of the complaints you hear a lot about when you're in ministry are people who leave the church and you find out they were upset. And they were something they just didn't like, no one noticed that we were gone, you know? I tell you that first off, that breaks my heart, right? But I do wonder, and I say this carefully, but I do wonder, did we know you, right? Were you really a part of the family? Like, were you involved so much so that we would totally take notice when you were gone? And by the way, as a request from a pastor, can you please just let us know you're leaving, right? There's so many times, like, I think of this as like Thanksgiving meal, like we're all eating together, and then like a family member, like my brother, were to like get from the table and walk out the door and never come back and never talk to us ever again. I find that a little strange, right? Like I'd be like, where'd my brother go, right? I see that the same way. If you've been hurt, come talk to somebody. Come be a part of our story, and we'll walk through it with you together. So here's the challenge this morning. This morning's going to be a little short because we're going to do something fun here in a minute. What if every person here were involved in some way here at Grace Church? As a part of our story of what our mission is, which by the way will probably never change, and that is to spread the message of God's amazing love and his amazing grace to the whole world. What if every single one of us had a part to play in that and were involved in some capacity? What would that do for our fellowship? Can I tell you that there's many mornings, if I was just being totally honest with you, there's been many mornings where I was back serving in the kids' room. There you go. See, I just did it. I'm working on it. Where I was a storyteller in the Grace Kids room. And I remember being in there telling the story. And I remember there were mornings where I was the only one telling the story. Okay? Like there was nobody else in there. And can I tell you that although, yes, we survived, it could have been a lot better. You know what I mean? Can I tell you that we've got a middle school service that is happening right now. We have students that are riding their bikes, middle school students riding their bikes to come be a part of this because they want to be a part of our family. Guys, that's a miracle, okay? That blows my mind because when I was in middle school, all I wanted to do was sleep, you know what I mean? And we got kids that are riding their bikes for miles because they want to come be a part of it. Can I just tell you, if I wasn't up here, I'd want to be in there. I'd want to go serve and be, I'm going to keep doing it. We'll edit this out. It is what it is, y'all. I want to be involved, right, in the story. I'm going to do this with you guys so we can catch each other. It'll be fun. If everybody here was involved in some way, what would that say to those who were outside the building? Can I tell you, I heard of a church where everybody was involved. They're here in town. There's a town. Their storytelling team, okay, is almost everybody. And I had a friend tell me, he goes, "Yeah, when you come in, it's not a matter of do you. It's a matter of where are you involved." Can I tell you, for me personally, that spoke to me. I'm like, I want to go be a part of a church like that. It speaks to those out there. It makes what we're learning here real, right? When we're all involved, and it makes it personal because our story blends together. There are things happening right now in the kids' room that you could share your story and part of that, and they need to hear it. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm asking for every person, first of all, to get out of the serving mindset, get out of the volunteering mindset. I'm asking for everybody to find 1 week, one Sunday a month, and just say, I want to be involved. I want to be a storyteller here at Grace Church. I want to put my roots in the ground, and I want to tell a story. I want to be a part of the greater story here. And let me tell you, before you think it's just all children's stuff, maybe that terrifies you, there are so many different ways you can be involved here. You know, it's not just serving coffee. It's not just making cool graphics appear on the screen. Isn't that cool, by the way? I think that's cool. Neo does a great job. No matter where it is, it's not doing those things. It is telling the story of God's love and his grace together as a community of believers. And most of all, if you get involved, it's for your sake. We're going to talk more about that next week, but it's really for us, because the kingdom doesn't run off of volunteers, doesn't run off of a pastor up on a stage. It runs off of a body of believers and a fellowship like us, a family. We are storytellers. What is your part in this story? What will your life say about you? The book of Acts is not finished for a reason, because I honestly believe the author couldn't keep up. There were just so many stories coming in, it was like, you know, I'm done. Like, we'll catch up in heaven, you know? And you're telling a story this morning. What is the story that your life tells? Is it greater than your own existence? Make it count for more and become a storyteller this morning. Besides, everybody else is doing it, right? Here's the thing this morning. In just a moment, we're going to break up, and we're going to go to different areas here in the building. I want you to have an opportunity to go see what happens here. It's going to blow your mind, I'm telling you, because I've had the opportunity, of course, to be involved. I almost did it again, of being involved in multiple places in the building. And I can tell you that it blows my mind what you will see. Because it's not just about the activities and the things that are happening, but you'll find people who have stories. And you'll begin to share your story with them, and they'll share their story with you, and you'll find community that so many of us I know are just wanting so badly. Good news is you can find it here this morning. So we're going to break up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me just pray over you guys, and we'll break up. Father, I just thank you so much that you don't need servants. God, thank you for making us sons and daughters. God, the kingdom is ours. It's so hard for us to wrap our heads around. Lord, would you help us to wrap our heads around it? Lord, would you reveal that in the Spirit to everybody that's here, that we would take ownership of our kingdom. Lord, the kingdom that you lead so well. And we love you, and we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Lord, help Grace Church and help everybody on the live stream, everybody who tunes in, Lord, tell the story of your goodness and your grace. That changes everything. So God, we want to be catalysts for change. Lord, let it start here. Let us become the storytellers that I know you've called us to be. Help every single person here find a place. And let us find community together, unified in love. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.